Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Yud Aleph. Let's review the pasuk again. Let's review this. Please, let's run through the pasukim again in order to get a feel of what's going on. Then we'll go into the Radak. Okay, so pasuk Yud Aleph. Let's begin the pasuk Yud Beis. Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Yud Beis. Let's just read the words again. Vayhi Divar Hashem Elai Lemar Ben Adam Eretz Ki Sechetol Li. What would happen if you would have a land that would be guilty of sin? A land where people living in the land are guilty of sin. Lim ol mal. And as we learned yesterday, this expression, lim ol mal, is a unique expression. There are many different ways to describe chet. You can describe chet, chamas, chet bin adam l'chaver, adam l'makayim, all different types of ways in Tanakh of describing chet. Here, what is unique in the way we describe chet is with the term lim ol mal, which means, this thing working? Which means, according to Rashi, this is less din, the less dayan. There's a complete denial of the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And whatever you can get away with, go for it. You can get away with, as long as no one is watching, you can do any crime that you want. There's no degree of Yirah Shemayim. So what's going to happen? So Hashem says, V'notisi Yodi Olech, Hashem says, I'm going to extend, spread out my hand upon this land, V'shavarti lo matei lochem, and I'm going to bring, the economy will collapse. The matei lechem, the staff of bread, which means the support of parnasa, will be broken. The economy will collapse, and there will be a famine, as the pasuk goes on to say, v'hishlachti v'rov, and when there is no parnasa, I will send forth famine. V'chrati mimenu adam v'behema, and I will cause to cease from this land man and animal. The Hayu, let us say, in this land they will be found three tzaddikim together, the combined force of three tzaddikim together. V'hayu shloishes hanoshim va'ele b'soicha. Who are they? Noach and Daniel v'Yoiv. Heima v'tzidkasam yinatzlu nafsham. They will be able, through their merit, to say they may be able in their merit to save themselves. No Hashem elokim, but the implication, which the pasuk is not following through, but it's understood from the context of the next pasukim, is they will not be able to save anyone else. The land will be destroyed. Let's read a few pasukim. Lu chayora avir baretz. What would happen if another type of churban would come to the world of wild animals? Vishikilata. And will cause the people, the land, to be bereaved from its inhabitants. The wild, ferocious animals will kill human beings, and there will be death. People, the land will be bereaved from its inhabitants. The hayasah shemama mibli oiver, it will be desolate from any living creature that passes, mibnei hachaya. And let us say that living in this land will be shloishes ho'anashim o'ele b'saycha. Let's say in the land it will be these three people, Noach, Daniel, and Eoif. Chai oni nu'um Hashem. I swear, Hashem says, nu'um Hashem lukim, imbonim v'imbonos yatzilu. They will not be able, these three tzaddikim will not be able to save their children, to save in the land, bonim v'imbonos. The only thing that these tzaddikim can do is to save themselves. Hema levadam yinotzelu. They will be spared. V'yaretz tiyash shemama, and the earth will be barren. Another example, Pasuk Yitzayin. O cherev avi alaretz. What's going to happen? There's going to be a war. A sword will come upon the land. Hahi. V'yamarti. And I said, cherev tavor baretz. If Hashem says, I will say that sword, that was a little bit redundant, that's not really clear why it says here, V'amarti, cherev tavir ba'aretz, v'chrati mimena adam v'heima, and Hashem will decree that man and animal shall be killed through the cherev. U'shloishes ho'anoshim o'il, again, we repeat, if the land will be found, u'shloishes ho'anoshim o'il b'seicha, chai aninu ma'ashim l'okim, lo yatzilu, again, they will not be able to save banim bonos, ki heima livadam yinatzil, they can only save themselves. And the fourth example, O dever ashalach elaris. Let's say I send forth a dever, a plague. Hahi. V'shafachti chamasi olecha b'dam. And I will pour out my anger upon the land through the spilling of blood. V'achris mimen adam b'behema. And again we repeat. V'noyach Daniel v'yoy b'saycha. Chai arinu mashem lukim. Imbein v'imbas yatzilu. Heima imbein imbas yatzilu. I swear that they will not be able to save the children, their generation. Hema vitzitka sam yatzilu nafsham. The most they can possibly do is save themselves. Let's continue. So what's the message? The message is ki chayam Hashem Elokim afki arba'as shefatai. So over here we mentioned four different types of punishments, four different types of churbanos, famine, wild animals, a sword, which means war, or a dever, a plague, pandemic, a plague. So certainly when it comes to Yerushalayim, Hashem says, I am going to dispatch all four upon Yerushalayim. Ki choyam Hashem Elokim afki arbas shefatai horoim, these four different types of judgments, which are cherev. Notice the order is reversed. Cherev, the ra'ah, famine, the chayor ra'ah, vodever. It's very, very curious why here in this pasuk the order is reversed. Shilach di el Yerushalayim, liachris men adam vehema, I'm going to send forth to Yerushalayim, vihine noisra ba pleita, and guess what? Even though the combination of all four will be found in the land, I'm going to allow there to remain a remnant, survivors, hamutzaim, which means a leftover portion, hamutzaim, which bring forth, which will be found amongst them, banim uvanos. They will survive. Hinam yotzim aleichem. They will come down to Bavel. They will come down from Yerushalayim to Bavel to greet, to be together with Yechonia and the 10,000 people that were exiled 11 years earlier. U'isem es darkom. And when you, Yechonia, and the people who are living in Bavel will witness, they'll see their conduct, will see their evil deeds, will pay close attention to their behavior and their maisim, you will then see as darkom v'es alilois sam, and their ways of life and their evil deeds. You will then come to the recognition that indeed Hashem hatzadik, Hashem is justified in bringing churban upon Yerushalayim and destroying Yerushalayim, and then v'nichamtem al hara'ah, and you will find comfort al hara'ah, that even though these people are so guilty, they're so evil, Hashem still had kindness upon them and allowed them to survive. That will be a form of comfort. Asher hevesi al Yerushalayim, eis kol asher hevesi alecha, concerning all that I brought upon it. V'nichamu eschem, and your children, even though they are rishoyim, they will give comfort to you. Ki sires darkom, when you see their ways. Here we have repetition. V'yes ali loisam, v'datem ki loy chinam asisi es eis kol asher asisi bo. You will know that I have not done, it's not for nothing that I have done what I have done. Nu'um Hashem Elokim. Okay, so this is the basic gist of the psukim to review over here. Let's review, because there's a lot going on. It's very hard to, in this context, to go one pasuk at a time. You really have to get the big picture before we go and receive Mulim Farshim in more detail. But to review the idea outside, the idea over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us what would happen if there would be a situation. I'm really going back to the Rashi, the first Rashi. The Shul Shel Mikra really follows what Rashi said in his first interpretation. Rashi's basic interpretation is that if there would be in the world such a country, such a civilization, such a nation that is guilty of sin, they have committed horrible sins, and Hashem would bring upon that country, that nation, that civilization, one of the four possible punishments, whether it's a famine, whether it's a war, whether it's a dever, a plague, or whether it's a chayara, wild animals devour, the land would be destroyed. There would not remain one survivor. The tzaddikim that would be there, maybe you'll find there a Noach, a Doniel, and an Eov. At best, even the combined force of all of the tzaddikim would only be enough to save themselves. Their zichus would not be enough to save the community, to save the civilization, the country. But for you, Klal Yisrael, you should know how kind I am to you. You should know how good I am to you, because Yerushalayim, you are so evil. There is not even one good man in Yerushalayim, not even one tzaddik. Everyone here deserves to die. And I'm going to bring upon Yerushalayim not one of the four punishments. I'm going to bring the combined force of all four punishments: famine, the wild animals, the cherev, the sword, and the dever. And yet, I'm going to allow there to be many survivors.
Survivors of Yerushalayim.
There are going to be many who are going to die, but there are going to be many survivors. And these survivors are going to be taken to Bavel to accompany, to join the people who went into Golis years ago, 11 years ago, in the time of Yechonia.
and they will come to them, and the people who are living there in Bavel for 11 years, when they're going to see the new people who are coming down to Golis, and they're going to look at them, and they're going to engage them in conversation, they're going to realize that these people are Rishoim. Their ways are corrupt, their deeds are horrible, they do worship idols, they have terrible hashkafas, v'chulu v'chulu. It's a Perek Yudalid. I just read the Pesukim Perek Yudalid from Pasuk Yudalid, Pasuk Yudays through the end of the Perek. Okay, from the second half of Perek Yudalid. Starting with Pasuk, I just read through all the Pesukim, reviewing the Pesukim before we go further in the Mepharshim. So here Hashem says, you're going to see all of your people who are going to join you, and you're going to see that they're Rishoyim, they're terrible people, they've done terrible averos, and the people living in Golus are going to say to themselves that the truth is, these people did not deserve to live. These people really deserve, the Shuras Hadin demanded that these people should die, should be killed, should have died, should have been wiped out. And yet look, Hashem allowed them to survive. And by allowing them to survive, these are our children, these are our relatives. They are our children, our cousins, our grandchildren, our relatives. And the fact that they survive and they can join us and we can be together with them and we can reassess the situation and do tshuva and plan to rebuild is a great act of kindness on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a form of comfort, a very great form of comfort for our person, to be giving an opportunity to renew yourself and to go forward. Okay, so that's the basic gist of the Mefarsh. Now, we discussed in detail why do we mention the first of these three tzaddikim, Doniel, Noach, and Iyov. So we learned first in the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos explained that we selected these three people. Let me just remind myself of what it said in the Mitzudos. He said it in the parentheses, because these three people were not able to save their generation. Noach was only able to save himself and his family, but not the world. Doniel was the only one that we find that had prominence, had chashivus in Bavel. No one else. He was not able to, his influence was not sufficient to elevate the status of the Jewish people living in Golus. And Iyov could not even save his own children. Okay, could not even save. You mentioned someone yesterday, is the nation, the family.
He didn't have anyone else he needed to save other than his own family.
And he couldn't do that, he couldn't even do that. And then we learned with Rashi. Rashi says, why don't we focus specifically on these three? These three, they saw three worlds. They saw the old world, they saw the Churban, and they saw the new world. And why is that significant? I don't know. I don't know why those three are significant in describing in this situation. In this situation, over here, because over here they rebuild. Rashi did say, because Yechonia's generation will also merit to see all three. Yechonia's, the 10,000 people who went into exile 11 years in advance, they saw the bias in its glory. They saw the Churban. They were exiled. They experienced the Churban. And then they had the ability to rebuild the bias Sheni 70 years later. Many of them lived to that age where they could rebuild the base. So therefore, they identify with these three, Noach, Doniel, and Iyov. Okay.
I don't know if I recall offhand, but that many people point of it may be that ultimately there will be a generation that will see the collapse of the old order and the onset of the new order.
Right. Okay, again, that's the idea. That is indeed the idea. Now that's a summary pretty much of what we've done yesterday. And now, and then we had also, Rashi also mentioned another reason why we mentioned Dafka these three, because these three all were spared from the four, or three/four, three of the four different forms of Churban that are mentioned here in these psukim. The famine, the wild animals, the cherev, the sword, and the dever. And Rashi went on to analyze these three individuals, what they experienced in their life during the time of Noach. Chazal tells us a very interesting thing that we never knew before, and we know about it, but it's not commonly spoken about, is there was a famine. There was a famine in the time, the generation of Noach. Wow. And many people died. many people starved to death. Noach miraculously survived. It has nothing to do with the Mabul. Just the fact that there was a... Yeah?
Yeah, that famine is actually not... not only not hinted at, but the Medrash cites that the famine actually took place in the days of Enosh, I think.
Earlier, much earlier.
Earlier.
So Noach was alive then?
And Noach developed
the plow.
Okay. 600 at the Mabul, so it could have been.
It could have been. Okay, so Rashi does mention that Noach survived something that is unrelated to the Mabul. And then Rashi mentions that how did he survive the wild animals? So you would think that I would think similar, because in the Teva, they're ferocious animals, right? Ferocious animals in the Teva, and they didn't kill Noach. They didn't eat up Noach. Chazal said Noach was ach. Vayishoer ach Noach. He was moaning and groaning. Because one day, there are different Mamar Chazal, but one day he was late in bringing food to the lion, and the lion bit him. So you would think that's the miraculous nature of his survival from the Chaya. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says that when the Mabul began, the animals wanted to come into the Teva, and they wanted to eat up Noach. How dare you not allow us to enter? The animals had intelligence in the time of before the Mabul. They had intelligence, they understood what was happening, the world was being destroyed, and here's our only exit, our only rescue boat, and this man is not letting us on board. So therefore, we're going to kill him. And Hashem, by Yisgar Balei, Hashem saved him. And then what's the cheref? So I always thought the cheref was the people of the generation, harassed. Noach, what are you building? You're building a teva. The world's coming to an end. What's this nonsense? The world's not coming to an end. Why are you making trouble? So I think the people wanted to kill him. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says the Mabul itself was called the Cheref. The fact that there was a Chorban coming to the world, that itself counted as the Cheref. Alright, Rashi does not though discuss Dever when it comes to Noach. Rashi only mentions three. He doesn't mention Dever. That's very curious. What happened to Dever? And then when it comes to Daniel, so Daniel, he survived. Daniel, how did he survive? Does Rashi tell us how he survived all three? Daniel, Rashi says the den of lions. Okay, so how did Daniel survive the famine? Because there's a tradition. Nothing. Rashi just quotes a tradition that there was a famine during the time of Daniel. Doesn't go into. It does not go into that more.
Explicitly.
Doesn't go into much detail. And then the animals, okay, that was the den of lions. Hashem saved him from the Chaya. And it says, there were 10 famines in the world. And one famine happened in the time of Daniel.
No, of Noah. It was Lemech. Daniel? I don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry. Daniel. B'shosh nichnas b'nuvcha netzal lechem b'yakim. The famine was, he was living before the Golas of Yehoyakim, there was a siege, and the siege brought on a famine, and many died, and Daniel survived. He survived the cherev of the Nebuchadnezzar, okay, and he survived also the chayos of the being thrown into the den of lions. Okay, and then we have Eov. Eov survived. What was the three things that Eov survived? Just to review, Eov survived. There was a famine. Rashi learns that Eov lived during the time of Yaakov, and Vayehi Ra'av Ba'aretz. So he survived the famine. He survived the sword. Rashi says because of his illness, the fact that his kidneys were split. So that's equivalent to having a sword being thrust into his body, and yet he survived. And he survived that's the cheref, the rav. And the third thing is the chaya. Where do we find that he survived the chaya? The chsev u'mikneh paratz baretz. That the animals of Eov was extremely wealthy. His animals got out of hand. And it seems that there was a danger. It seems that his animals were dangerous, and he could have been killed by his livestock, and he miraculously survived. Okay, so that was Rashi yesterday. Different ideas explaining why specifically these three. I was thinking of another idea, if I may share it with you. We say every single day in davening, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzevakos Meloi Choleretz Kivodo. This is the Nevuah of the Maaseh Merkava from Yeshaya. And we translate the words every single day in Ashrei Uvolotzion. What does it mean, Kadosh? I always like to talk about this thought. One of my favorite topics, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So if you don't, for the unaffiliated, it means super holy. I once said this word over somewhere and someone said, oh, I never knew this. I always thought when it says Kadosh, 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 it means Hashem is super duper holy. But that's not what it means. It means there are three different types of holiness. Kaddish, Al, Kaddish b'shmei Miroma. We translate in the Targum every single day the words of Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. Let me get a sitter. Right, after one sitter. Let me just. Precision is always good. Every day. So where is my mind? My mind is not with me. That is the MS. My mind is not with me. So here we go. Umekablein kaddish bishmei miroma ilo'a. Hashem is holy in the heavens that are exalted ilo'a. High, high, beishechinte. That's the first kaddish. The second kaddish is kaddish al ara on the earth. Ovad givurte. The earth is the product of Hashem's creation. Hashem created the earth. The third Kiddusha is... Oh, the third is Kaddish le'olam ul'yol mei olmaya. Hashem is holy in Zeman. Okay, so we have three different dimensions of where Hashem's holiness is to be found. Holy in Shemayim, which we have no understanding of. It's a world beyond our understanding. Then there's holiness in this earth, on this earth, the product of His creation. And then there's holiness in time, which is a very, very, very...
You have space and time.
Time is a very complex dimension. Time. What exactly is time? Time is a davar gashmi. It's a very complex thing. No, we say the same thing every single day when we say the bracha of Kedusha. Atah Kadosh, v'shimcha Kadosh, u'kidoshim b'chol yom yahalelucha selah. Why do we say this expression? These are the three dimensions of holiness. Atah yu Hashem ar Kadosh. You being holy means in a world that's beyond our understanding, in the highest heavens. Then v'shimcha Kadosh. Your name is holy. In this world, the earth, the only way we can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to His name. Hashem's name. We say Hashem's name is something which is in Shemayim. You don't need Hashem's name. When you're speaking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to a person, you don't say your name. You say you. When I'm talking to you, I don't have to call you by the name. I'm talking to you. In this world, Hashem is hidden. Hashem is hidden. And that's why the way we refer to Hashem is by His name. This world is an example of Hashem's name. And then there's holiness in time. Ukidoshim, holy people, b'chol yom, every single day, yahalelucha, salli, praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we say the bracha, the third bracha of the Shemona Esrei, ata kadosh, v'shimcha kadosh, ukidoshim, b'chol yom, yahalelucha, salli, it parallels what we say in Asher V'Olot Zion, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. The first kedusha is, b'shmei miroma ilo'a b'shechente. The second kedusha is in this world, Al Ara on the earth, that is the product of Hashem's creation. And the third Kedusha is a Kedusha in Zman. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. Zman is a very complex. Purim is really an element of Kedusha in Zman. Terrible things happened. There were terrible gezeros. And then, as time passed, things worked their way out, and it was revealed all of the things that were tragic, that appeared to be harmful, really were all part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan in order for it to be good. Kedoshim, holy people, Kedoshim, holiness, not necessarily even human beings. You have a tzaddik is a Kadosh. Why can't a person be a Kadosh? Ukidoshim, b'chol yom, the purpose, the idea is they express the holiness of Hashem b'chol yom daily in Zman. Now with this idea in mind, I want to suggest that that's why we mention over here these three tzaddikim, Noach, Daniel, and Eiv. Noach represents Kedusha on the earth. There was Vatishaches Kol Haaretz. The earth. Yisho, everything about Noach is about the earth. The pasuk says, "Ki hishris kol basar es darkoi al haaretz." Noach sanctified this world. Noach sanctified this world by telling the people, "You know, there's going to be a Mabel." He, through Noach, there was a re-sanctification of this world of the Aretz. Daniel was not about; it was all about Hashem. Daniel refused to bow down to an idol. To teach the world there's a God. To teach the world that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. It wasn't a matter of Chazal say the Gzar Din of Noach was because of Gezel. It was a chelik of Odom Lachaveri. Well, Hashem did not destroy the world because of Ribbono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the world because there was corruption. Ki hishkes kol boser es darkai ala oretz. Ki mol oretz chomos v'neyem. Rashi says, lo nechtam Gzar Din el ala chomos. It was an element of the conduct on this world is not being done with Kedusha. Daniel had nothing to do with Kedusha in this world. Daniel was fighting against Nebuchadnezzar, who claimed that he is God, and there's no other God but him, and everyone has to bow down to the idol, and Klal Yisrael Nefesh was Nichshal, that's the story of Purim. They did bow down to the idol out of fear for their lives, and Daniel refused to bow down, and he was thrown into a den of lions, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously saved him. So Daniel was Mekadesh Hashem in Bishmei Miroima, in the highest of heavens. Eoiv. So this goes. When did Eov live? I know Rashi says Rashi quotes the opinion that Eov lived in the time of Yaakov. But the truth is, the Gemara presents multiple opinions as when Eov lived, and then the Gemara concludes Lo Hayev Lo Nivra. He never really existed. Eov spans all of time. There was a version of Eov in the time of Yaakov. There was a version of Eve in the time of Paro. There was a version of Eve in the time of the Meraglim. There was a version of Eve, I don't remember the Omar Chazal, but there was a version of Eve through the beginning of time to the end of time. Eve represents Tzadik Viraloi. And that is a theme which is timeless, which goes through the beginning of creation to the end of days. It represents, and yet Eve was Omid bin Asayon. Eve was able, okay, it was very hard, obviously, but the fact that we have a safe Eve, obviously, there's what to learn from Eve. He brings out Kedusha in Zeman. So therefore, I want to suggest that's why we're giving over here specifically these three examples. If you're going to have a community, the apostle is telling us, you have a world. And the world, you have a society, a civilization, a country that is thoroughly corrupt. And Hashem wants to bring Churban. And you'll have in the country three tzaddikim. Three tzaddikim that capture Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Hashem, don't destroy the world. The purpose of creation is fulfilled through us. Kedusha in Shemayim, Adoniel, Shemayim. This Kedusha like Noach in this earth, that is going to restore the earth. There's a Kedusha in Zman. Hashem says, very good, very good. But you know something? The most you can do for yourselves is save yourselves. You can't save everyone else. When there's corruption, when there's churban in this world, the world has to be destroyed. There has to be, even if one punishment. But for Klal, then we go, but for Klal Yisrael, even if you don't have none of the above, there's no Kadosh, 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 if there's none of the above, yet Hashem says, for Klal Yisrael, I'm going to go out of my way, I'm going to allow there to be survivors, they're going to come down to Bavel, they're going to be mechazek, their relatives, and then people are going to realize the ches of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that will be for them a form of comfort for Klal Yisrael. Because it's an idea, three different people representing the concept of Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Now before we go further, I wanted to mention one other thought which came to mind in preparation is it really good, you could argue this, and the only people who suffer can really tell you the pros and cons of this argument, is how would Daniel, Eiv, and Noach feel, and you have to ask them how they felt about their situation, that they are the only survivors. You hear about this, you read about this, people who survive, Rahman al-Sultan, tragedy, and others were not so fortunate to survive, people, Holocaust survivors. You hear about this sometimes, you know, there aren't too many survivors left, but you read about this, is they have tremendous guilt. Right. Why me? Why me? I was there together with so many people, and they were calling numbers, they have a million stories. Why did I, Rahman al-Sultan, in a car accident, why me? Why did I survive and the other person not survive? We were exactly in the same situation. And some people use that as a springboard to accomplish great things. And some people are not strong. You know, you can't judge anyone, and they live their whole life in misery. They live their whole life in misery with tremendous guilt, tremendous pain. And if you would ask them, they would say, my life is not worth living. I would end it right now if I could, because I just cannot live with this guilt. Why me and not that person? So you have to look at these three people. Daniel, Noach, and Eov, they survived. But their children didn't survive. Not Eov and Daniel. How did they live out their lives? Was it really to their advantage? Were they really happy to go forward in life? So even for them, forget about the Pasuk, we're saying, you have a world, and the whole world is dealing of Chatam, and there are three tzaddikim, and the tzaddikim survive. They only save themselves. So you right away jump to the conclusion, oh, at least they save themselves. Maybe just the opposite. Maybe it's even worse. The fact that they save themselves is even a greater form of tsar. There's people who die, and people who live, they live in misery. It's horrible. But yet Hashem is the Klal Yisrael. Not only are there going to be survivors, it fits very well into the end of the Pesukim. Hashem says there's going to be survivors, and the survivors are going to give nechama to the other people who are living in Galus. There's going to be nechama, meaning everyone's going to be happy, being that they're going to be the Galus, the Yechonim, the 10,000 people. They are going to be able to connect to the survivors, and the survivors are going to be able to connect to the people who are the 10,000 people who are living in Bavel. So you're happy. I mean, there is someone to communicate with. There is less guilt than just being isolated all alone as being the only three people who survive. Okay, this is something which I think is, there's something going on over here which has to be really thought about and brought out better. Okay, let's go now to the now. We have to go to the Radak. Okay, let's do the Radak. Radak Pasik Tes Pasik Yud Zayin. So we went through today before people. Some people came in a little bit late. Before when we started, we went through. We read through the entire parak. Now then, we read through pasuk Yudalit to get a bigger flavor of what's going on. We read through pasuk Yudbeis, the end of the parak, to get a flavor of the entire picture of what's happening over here. And now we can pick up what we left off yesterday with the Radak and Yudzayin. So first, we start with Hashem is telling us what's going to happen if you have a land, and in the land there's going to be chait. There's going to be a timol mal, less din, v'less dayin. People are going to deny the existence of Hashem, and I'm going to bring upon this country one of four punishments. So the first punishment was, I'm sorry, I skipped the pasuk. We're up to the Radak in pasuk. We didn't do any of this. We have to go back. I'm sorry, pasuk yudalit. I'm sorry, pasuk yudalit. So long Radak. And now there's going to be the first punishment, which is going to be famine. And in the land we found these three tzaddikim, Daniel and the Yoiv, Daniel Chosar Hayud, the Chain Ha'acher Haniska Beparsha. Again later on, Hinei Chacham Ata Midaniel. We have later on a pasuk Perik Chav Ches. Again, Daniel will make his appearance, and he there the Aleph is missing. V'Hayud Nikreis even with like just like Yerushalayim. Maybe over here he's telling us a drush. In Tanakh, it's good for Purim. Every time it says Yerushalayim, without exception, it is choser, except for in the Megillah. The Megillah is the only place where the Yerushalayim is spelled with a yud. What's the deeper meaning? That through the miracle of Purim, there was a renaissance for Yerushalayim. It was rebirth. Yerushalayim now came to life once again in that the Beis HaMikdash, they permitted the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. The Aleph does not have a dot. I'm sorry, the Aleph of Daniel, it's not pronounced. The emphasis goes on the Yud, Nocha, ki hatserita chasayud v'hayud gusha. So therefore, when you pronounce his name, it's Daniel. The emphasis is thus less. Now, by the way, you should know what I told you is not absolutely correct. There is one place, I forgot where it is, important to know, and I think it's in Doniel, where Doniel is, the emphasis is on the Nun. Doniel. There's one place, I don't know if it's in the, maybe it's not in Doniel, maybe somewhere else, where it's actually on the Nun. So this, that is very common among us to call people by that name, Doniel, and not Daniel, it's not necessarily incorrect because people are following that one exception. It's bizarre. Why is that part? There's one pasuk that's an exception to this rule where the emphasis is on the nun. So here we're going, Radak is following what we said in Rashi. They each one saw three worlds. Banui, v'chodaf, u'banui. They saw the old world, they saw the world that was destroyed, they saw the world that was rebuilt. Noyach roch ha'ilam banui, v'ro'u chere v'mabel, then he saw the world destroyed in the mabel, v'ro'u and he saw banui, so we'll build it once again at a later point in time. Daniel ro'u beis hamidosh banui, v'ro'u b'charav destroyed, v'ro'u banui, also he saw three worlds. Now that's all true of Daniel. Radak here is telling us Daniel lived to see the binyan b'yesheni. We have a chazal that Daniel was assassinated by Haman. When Haman saw that Daniel was ferrying messages between Esther and Mordechai, he killed him. He killed Daniel. He just stabbed him. So he didn't live to see the binyan b'yesheni. So that's not not the chazal that Radak is focusing on.
Also, there are different opinions on that subject as well.
Right. So just notice he's saying over here that he says it's very in an explicit Radak. Where does he know this from? Doesn't say anywhere. You don't find Daniel anywhere in the Bayesheni, do we? In the time of the Bayesheni, when they built the Bayesheni, all the advisors, does anyone there say this person? Oh, he was Daniel.
As far as Chasak being Daniel, that's a matter of debate.
Okay, and here the Radak
buried in Shushan. There's a big memorial
for Daniel
in Shushan.
That means he first saw the Bayesheni, then he went back to Shushan and he died there. Okay, it's very strange.
The Arabs consider Daniel the last of the Jewish prophets.
Daniel to be the last, interesting. Interesting.
We don't consider him enough because they
do. They do, okay. So Daniel raw base hamidish bani v'rabu b'char v'ra banu v'avish loy raw charav be'enav. Even though he did not see the actual churban, because he was living in Bavel at the time of the churban, ki begolus haya shagolim yoyakim av b'chein b'yama. In his lifetime it was charav. V'achach raw he saw banu, he saw rebuilt kishetziva koyresh livnoisa. He saw it built when koyresh gave the command to rebuild it. Iyoiv raho. Now maybe that's really what he means because he explains koyresh was before the story of Purim. So maybe even though it was not complete, he means the beginning of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash does not necessarily mean the completion, which took place at the time of the son of Esther, Daryavesh, Haparsi. He saw himself built up. He saw himself as a successful person with wealth and with children. From children, and we mention them in this way, and then now he doesn't go on to say, but Iyov HaKadosh Baruch Hu did restore Iyov at the end of the Sefer. Now, so why do we mention these three individuals? So here the Radak explains, the Churban of Eretz Yisrael will be due to the sin of the people who live in the land. Vehein bit sidkasam lo yitzilu ela atzmam. The people, so here he's mentioning the churban of the land that was due to the sins, and it's vehein bit sidkasam lo yitzilu es atzmam. Churban aretz, these people only save themselves. Ki noach levadai hayat tzadik b'dorai im banav kama shenemar ki oischar isi tzadik lefanai b'dor hazem v'loi hitzil mikol b'nei dorai elohu banav levadam shayu tzadikim. He only was able to save himself and not his children. V'Daniel gam kin lo hitzil b'tzikas soy el atzma u'min agolus lo hayachol hatzil atzma. He only saved himself. And then the Golus, even from Golus, he could not save himself. Ki eich yishar ba'aretz yichidi, ohu v'chaverav hatzadikim, ki yicheskel v'chananya, mishol v'azarya, eich yitochen sheyisharu yichidim ba'aretz hachareva, ulitoivasam golu rishayna, kideish lo yiru b'churban ha'ara, hi'ir v'beis hamidosh. They were only able to save themselves. They left the land early in order not to see the churban. The af al pisha churban ho'ir neregu chasidim v'lo yitzilu atzmam. He's asking a question. Even though when the churban happened, we find other tzaddikim were not able to save themselves. K'moshe nemar nosnu es nivlas avodecha evshe shohoya achosid ha'hu yichidi bein rabim eis hahereg. The nemar
Ki at tzedek yoshev mishpat. Period. They were individuals. An individual is not as, even an individual cannot save himself. You need to have the support of others. You need a group. Aval kishem shloisha o yoiser yitzdarfu zichu yoisehem v'yatzilu atzmam. So therefore, he's saying that during the time of the Chorban, the reason why we do find that there were people who did die in Yerushalayim was because they were considered to be Yechidim. Here, the Pasuk is telling us that these three are together. Daniel, Noach, and Iyov together, the combined force is what allows themselves to be saved. But if had they been alone, they would not survive. They would die, just like we find other Yechidim died in the Beis HaMikdash. The Iyov, Gam Ken Hitzel Atzma Levad, Mimi Sov Lo Hitzel Banav Unaysav, Ki Lo Hayu Tzadikim. They sent to Hashem and you sent them away. He survived, but he was not able to save himself from Yisurin. The Yisurin was for his benefit to cleanse him from his sins. Even though he did not realize this, that's the first idea. So the reason why we're mentioning over here Daniel, Iyov, and Noach is because these three people were only able to save themselves. They were not able to save anyone else, and that's exactly the idea we're coming to mention over here when it comes to these various countries that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Korban. If they are tzaddikim, even if there are a group of tzaddikim, they're not going to be able to save anyone other than themselves. Period. Now we come to another idea. A new idea that we did not yet learn in the Radak, and not in Rashi, and not in the Mitzudos. These three individuals were oimed binisoyin. They were able to overcome difficulties. Noach's situation was the most severe possible. Shekevon sh'amaloy akel yisbrach asel chatevas atzei goyfer also soleni kol b'nei doroi. He made the teva in the presence of the entire world. V'hoya hamaisa ahu kineged datam, and this was something which they disagreed. They believed that he was provoking them. Umoyra al himachoyz zichram, and by building a teva, he's telling them, you're all gonna die. The world's coming to an end. Ubatach, and it's natural that they should have killed him. They should have killed him and destroyed the teva. And yet Noach had faith in Hashem. Ubatach bekel yisparach v'leipachat sheya harguhu. He was not afraid that they would kill him. V'chein Daniel Omad bin Isayin Gadol, Shishlichu Bilugoyv Haroyos, in honor of Hashem, he entered into a den of lions. Ubotach Bekel Yisparach Shayat Silenu, Veloy Kofar Boy, Miyirasai, Misasai, Vinitzol. He was did not deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fear, and he was saved. Vechein Iyoiv, now here is a very fascinating Radak. Omad bin Isayin, Shikohu Hasatan, Bishchin Ra, terrible boils, Mikaf Ad Ragla, Viad Kod Kodoy. V'omad b'nisayon v'loichoto b'sfasov l'daber dvarim asher loikneged okel yisparach v'nitzol. So here the Radak says you can read whatever you want to read in Sefer Iyov, all of the harsh things that he said against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not called failure. Okay, there are some very harsh things that he said. His wife right away said to him in the very beginning, why don't you just be mevorei Hashem? And they basically commit suicide. Why don't you commit suicide? How do you commit suicide in ancient times? You don't have to kill yourself physically. You just say Birchas Hashem. You just say, you basically have two witnesses, and you say something disrespectful about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you chayev Misa, and Bezdin will come along, and Bezdin will kill you. Will take your life. And they'll do it in a very civilized way. What's Birchas Hashem, whatever it is, Skila, Shreifa, Chayev, whatever, Skila? Skila. So there's a very simple way to commit suicide through Birchas Hashem. And who advised him to do this? His wife. Who was his wife? Dina. According to one interpretation, Dina. Wait. Was it Dina? I think it was Yaakov's daughter. That's one interpretation. One interpretation. She told him to do this.
So, but he refused to do so. He refused to commit suicide. And he refused to say anything bad about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was frustrated. Okay, he said some very harsh, frustrating words. But the Radak is here, in these few short words, is summarizing the entire Sefer Iyov and telling us he was oymed, he passed the test. Not everyone agrees to that interpretation. If you remember, we learned Iyov a while ago. Not everyone gives him a pass. Not everyone is so gracious to Iyov, but the Radak, at least in his understanding, is v'nitzal. Therefore, Zohar tzidkas eilech hashloisha tzadikim af al pichein hema b'tzikasam yatzilas asam v'loy achelim imam. So we have now this new interpretation. Why these three? Because these three were oymed, were able to withstand the most difficult situation in the world, and they remained righteous. So you would expect that zuchus should save the entire generation, should save their children, their family, should save everyone. Guess what? Very, very shocking pasuk. Doesn't work. Each man for his own. Ma'isim toivim bin his son. You're only able to save yourself. You're not able to save anyone else. Yinatzlu nafsham zelvaday me'adog. Now he goes to some grammar. Zelvaday me'adogush b'zeho inyin. They save themselves. Yinatzlu nafsham. I think it means that the tzadi has a dat. In this section, when it says "v'yinatzlu," the only one that has a dot in the tzadi in these psukim that have a similar expression is this word. Okay, now let's go to the next pasuk. Now we go to the second pasuk, which we'll read again the pasuk again just to get into it. The pasuk says in pasuk tezvav, "Luchaya ra'a avir ba'aretz v'shikilata." If Hashem would send upon a country wild animals and cause the land to be bereaved from its citizens because they're dead. The wild animals devour the people. Let's do the next pasuk to Zion. And in this land there will be found three tzaddikim, the combined force of three tzaddikim on this caliber. Hashem says, I swear, they would be unable to save the children. They will be unable to save the people that live there, their children who live in the country. The only thing they can do with their righteousness is Heimel of Adam Yinatzil. They themselves will be spared the Aretz, but yet the Aretz Tiyesh Shemama. Pasik Tezvav and Tezayin in the Mitzudos David. Tezvav Lu Chaya Ra'a Ritzon Eloimar Im Gmul Ha'avon Yasher Aver Ba'aretz Kivutzas Chayos Troifos L'Shakel Ima. If the punishment that I would send in the land would be a band of wild animals to bereave the land of his citizens, V'tiyesh Shemama Mabli Oiver Ba. Bipachad achayos to Zion and shloishes rotzulaymar af im b'secha yimatzu shloishes huanoshim ho'eleh homurim l'mayla, and in the land will be found these three tzaddikim chayani. Hashem is speaking. I swear to you, hareni nishba. I swear chayani im shuras hadin mechayeves, that the letter of the law would only permit sheyatzilu b'zuchusam. That it would not chayani im shuras hadin mechayeves sheyatzilu b'zuchusam. It means it would not. That the Shura Sadin would not permit to spare the children, Bain Bonim, Bain Bonos, Rak Hema Livadam Yinotzil. The most that they can be spared will be their children. Now let's see Rashi in these two psukim. Rashi, Pasik, very short Rashi. Luchaya means im. The word lu means if there will be a chaya. Okay, it's all Rashi says, Radak. Pasik tezvav and tezayin, lu chayor o avir baaretz v'shikilata. Lu, the word lu means if, kamo im, kamo lu hachayisem osam. If only you can keep them alive. V'shikilata, poal yotze. This is a verb. Ki ein haaretz mishakeles osam. Ki im ki hi ki im liyoshveha. The earth is like the mother. Rashi, the Radak is asking a question. The word shikul is a word that is used in describing parents. Rachmana litzlan, a parent loses a child, so it's called shikul banim. It is a term that is focused on a mother or a father. Here, everyone is dying. There are no survivors. So who's the mother? Rashi answers, Radak answers, the earth. The earth is the mother in this context. And thus, when the people, the citizens are dead, so we say that the earth has been bereaved from its children.
ki hi ke'em liyashveh ba. V'hachayim mishakeles es aretz, the earth, the wild animals, is mishakeles bereaving the earth. Evor ba'aretz, kamo hirni mashliach bach, this is a grammatical term, v'hoysa shemama mebliu evar mebnei hachaya, lo amar ze bera, b'cher v'dever. So he's asking a question, why we're going to have four different types of possible ways for Hashem to destroy the land. And it only says the expression shemama ba'aretz, desolation, in reference to the chayos. Why doesn't it say the word shemama in reference to the famine, in reference to the dever, and in reference to the cheref? The answer is ki avi shachayis aret shemama miyoshvecha yavu derech olech anoshim aratzo sacheros v'lo tir b'shemachaya aval kishaaret shemama b'mnei achaya mushleches shakel yisbach yishlicha ba k'mo shomar v'yishlach li ba aschayis aret yaru lavor ba filu anoshim achayim b'mnei achaya ki tarbusa shom, because that's where they live. So the answer is because when you have wild animals roaming around the land, no one would dare enter the land, not even from another nation, not even a visitor, no tourists. No one's going hiking in Yerushalayim because the land is shemama, there's a sakana because of wild animals. On the other hand, if the land would be destroyed because of famine, or because of a dever, or because of a war, then when the war is over, the dever is over, the famine is over, people, even though they're not residents of the land, will come and pass through the land. The land will not be shemama. Okay, so that concludes. Tezayin, okay, so Tezayin, Shloshes, Imbonim, Vimbonos, Yatzilu, and let's say we have in this land, we have parents, we have these three tzaddikim, Ketanim, Ketanois, so when it says of Imbonim, Vimbonos means children. Kuma Oven, Yigoch, Vas, Yigoch, Kalama, Afilu, Ketanim, Shem, Lulichet, Lo, Yatzilu, the righteousness of these three individuals will not even be able to save the children who have no Chatoim. They will be killed due to the sins of their fathers. They alone will be spared. What was their sin? They also are sinners. They were living amongst Rishoim. Why were they living there? It's very interesting, Radak. Radak, what we were saying is that we hold these tzaddikim Noach. We have three tzaddikim like Noach, Eov, and Daniel living among this country. So their own children will die, will not even be spared in their merit. Why? Because they are also partially guilty. What are they guilty of? What are you living amongst Rishoyim? Why are you living in an environment that is not good for your children?
No other place to live.
Okay, but he's saying.
Says on the Parshas Noach, he said, why? I mean, all the people in that generation had their children around 100, 110. Noach only had his children
later on,
500. Because he wouldn't have, if had they been 400 years old at the time of the Mahmoud,
they would have been Risharim. They would have been Goners. But he's not referring specifically, he's referring over here specifically to this land. If you have a country, in the country, there's a Risharim, you have three tzaddikim, so what are you tzaddikim living in this land where they're Risharim? You should get out of here.
Why couldn't they not even make Katsip, put them all together?
I don't know, you have a Rabbast, it's always a question of why. There's always nuances, there's always, I don't know, I don't know. Obviously, there's something going on over here. Okay, now you go to Pasuk Yud Zayin. Yudzai now goes to the third type of Churban. Oy Cherev, let's say we have a country that's guilty of mal, guilty of saying a din las din v'las dayan. And in this country there's going to be a Churban of Cherev of Yibal Aretz, Ahi. The Amarti, and Hashem says, Cherev tavor baretz, a sur shall pass through the land, v'chati mimena adam v'heima, pasu yudches, u'shloishes honoshim o'ilu b'soicha, chai onim num Hashem elokim, lo yatzilu banu v'vonos, ki him levadam yinotzelu, they alone will survive. Yudzayin yiches in mitzudos, yudzayin oy cherev, im gemul oven ya asher avi al aretz, achuzei cherev, let's say Hashem decides that the way he's going to punish this country is through a sword, v'amarti, so the question is, why is the repetition, why v'amarti, kofel hadov l'chazek for emphasis. Yudches lo yatzilu ritzon lomar ein shuras adin mechayeves lahatzil bishusam bonim bonos. The law will not demand that they can save anyone but themselves. Rashi, there is none, I believe. Yudzayin, there is Rashi. Yudzayin, cherev is gayosos lamulchama, an army, an army that's coming to war. Radak pasuk Yudzayin and Yudches im oichev al aretz zel vada al aretz binyin zeh v'chi hi hamesora. So the V'chein hiya mesarim min reish sifra avi'ad mi'atav kulon el aretz. So the question over here is, why is there an al? There's an al instead of an el. Pasik yidzayin, I'm going to look at the words again, clearly, oichev avi al aretz. Almost everywhere else it says, all the other different descriptions of the land, it says el haaretz. So rak ze levadi al haaretz, binyin ze v'chein hi ha-mesar, min reish sifra v'ad ha-tof, kulon from the beginning of the sefer until v'ad ha-tof, I'm not sure where that tof, what that's referring to, kul hoin el haaretz, bar min chad al haaretz. Oicherev avi al haaretz. So therefore, this is part of the Messer. Make no mistake; it's not a mistake in the text. There's an inconsistency in the style of the writing of Yecheskel, and that it wants to make that point clear. V'yamarti cherev tavar baaretz loy amar b'chayi v'devar v'yamarti. He's asking the question: why, when it comes to the cherev, is it the only place where it says the words v'yamarti, and I will say? And it does not say the word v'yamarti. Does not say the word v'yamarti by the other three. Ki ein perish v'yamarti lohem al yidei neviyai lohayroisam lo ki loy shaloyach navi l'soida l'sdoim v'yamaru l'hasroisam. Hashem is not sending prophets to these countries. We're dealing over here, the marshal that over here, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving over here, is giving a non-Jewish nation, a country of pagans, a country of people who are not Yodin Hashem. Hashem is not like Sidom Vamora. Hashem did not send them prophets. Ki Asechel Hu Hamasre Be'averos Ko'ela Shasechel Mora Alem. It's an amazing thing that the Radak says, is that sometimes you don't need to be warned. You should have known better. Question, Radak of here is asking a very fundamental question. Why can't this country, you have a country, it's a country somewhere at the end of the world, and they're sinners. They have committed the worst possible sins. And Hashem now is sending an army to devour, to destroy them. So they can say to Hashem, it's not fair. You didn't warn us. You didn't warn us. So the Radak says, you don't need to be warned. Your seichel, your intellect tells you that this is wrong. So the Radak says, Ela Pesha, why then does it say over here, the Amarti, I said, Ki la cherev yesh oimrim, Hashem is speaking to the sword. Umagidim term ba'o, and Hashem is revealing this before it comes. Shemagidim avu oivrim orchos melech ploini. You declare, you speak, oivrim orchos melech ploini yavoi al oretz hazos, that is going to be a certain king is going to pass through this land. The ha'oimrim ha'heim ki ilu amar ha'kel yisparach, and those who make this statement as if Hashem is speaking. Kamo vichrati, I've cut off shachayla ba'aleim heim hamachrisim ela shakel her es rucham lovoy aleim. Hashem inspired them to come. Period. Avlachaya mashleches baretz ein oimer ve'ein magid ad bo'o v'chein hadover ein magid v'chein hadever ein magid ad bo'o. So here's what he explains. The idea he explains over here according to Radak is the reason why it only says the word the amarti in reference to cherev is because people know about this in advance. In the news, you read that America is sending 100,000 troops to Iraq. Okay, if you're living in Iraq, a year before, you know what's coming. You know that they're sending over here 100,000 troops to come and to start up with you. But when it comes to a famine, when it comes to a devil, a plague, when it comes to a chayira, there is no warning. There is no warning. It happens suddenly. A person is not prepared. So when it says here the word v'yamarti, Radak is telling us do not be misled to think that v'yamarti means to a prophet. Don't think that the Pasuk is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent prophets to the nations of the world to warn them, you better do tshuva or else I'm going to destroy you. Because we do not find, for example, that Hashem sent prophets to Sodom v'Amorah. Hashem just, in a moment's notice, wiped them out. You'll ask, what about Nineveh? On Yom Kippur, there Hashem said Yonah to Nineveh. I guess that was the exception. Why was that an exception? This is not an exception. Hashem, these psukim are here describing foreign nations. Hashem is giving the mashal. That's the whole yisod of these psukim. That's what we read in the beginning. We read through the whole psukim to get the whole flavor of what's going on over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Yechezkel, what would happen in the world? Let's look at the world at large. If there would be a country that's molei chet, and I would destroy them. And the way I would destroy them would be one of four ways. Either a famine, a sword,
plague wild animals, and in the land you would find some goyim who are tzaddikim on the madrega of Noach, Daniel, and Iov, even the combined force. Tell me, would the land survive? Would the zechus of the tzaddikim spare the entire country, secular country? Absolutely not. The land will be completely obliterated, and those tzaddikim, they can save themselves. But for Klal Yisrael, Yerushalayim, they're also in this category, and they're even worse, because upon them I'm going to destroy them with the combination of all four punishers in one shot: a sword, a famine, a plague, and a chayra. And you know what? And there are no tzaddikim. There's zero. There's no one there in Klal in Yerushalayim that's worthy of surviving. And yet I'm going to save the Sheiris HaPleita. There's going to be a Pleita, Hamutsoim. They're going to come out. They're going to go down and join the 10,000 people who have already gone to Bavel. And each one will be given Nechama. It'll be a Nechama. And you'll be able to rebuild. I'm doing with you, Klal Yisrael, what I would not do for any other nation in the world. So when we're giving over here these examples, we're giving over here examples of what would be if in the world at large there are countries which are sinners. So the question over here is why, when it comes to the Cherev, the sword, does it say that Hashem said, I'm going to destroy with the Amarti, I said. So the answer, the Radak explains, doesn't say this word the Amarti when it comes to the other countries. The answer, because the Amarti means you have it there. It doesn't mean Hashem is sending a prophet, because Hashem did not send prophets to the nations of the world to warn them what's coming upon them. And even though there is an exception of, like I said, Nineveh, Yonah, on Yom Kippur, that I don't know why that is an exception, but when it comes to stone, they were wiped out. There was no prophet. So what's the Amarti? The Amarti just means that when it comes to war and Cherev, generally there is advance notice. There is advance notice. A war does not happen overnight. It's not the way wars go. Wars takes years for things to stir up, to play out, in order to come to a point where...
Maybe from the source of Asher, that Asher, Yosef Misham Asher,
yeah.
He left.
Oh, he had a zuchus. That's a whole different idea. That's why we have Savashuris, right? Yeah. But this is when it comes to a cherev, when it comes to the wild animals, the dever and the rav, there is no advance warning. These things happen suddenly. And that's why the word of Yamarta is omitted in those other things.
Like I said, the Goyim expects you to understand
that
you don't know warning.
Rest.
What is if somebody, for instance, murders somebody? You have to have
warning with witnesses. But Hashem, when Hashem punishes, Hashem there should be witnesses. Hashem knows what's in your mind. Because that's the Radak is saying that there are things that are logical. That itself is enough of a warning for a person to be held accountable for his deeds and to be punished accordingly. Alright, we'll stop over here. I have here a new handout to the Aruch HaShulchan to learn a little bit about the Purim, things that are more relevant in the remaining time that we have until Purim. Yeah, here's the